Mark Steiner. Joe Giordano is a photographer of the City Paper, the staff photographer, and an incredible photographer. He and my wife have been friends for at least the last 20 years or more, and my friend as well. And Joe did that incredible work during the uprising in Baltimore out in the street and does amazing work. He's done this really interesting piece in the City Paper featuring homeless youth. And as well as Jody May, Mays Jr. photographic work is also in that piece. Joe was in the studio with us. Jody Mays Jr. is here along with Sugar, who are part of this whole story. Welcome, good to have you with us here.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate the love.
Lines are open at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talkatsanashow.org. Joe, please start us off. What you did here and what the situation is.
Well, Baltimore has a – I worked through – first of all, I got to give a shout-out to City Steps and Ayers and Miss Flowers for, you know, putting all this together and helping me connect with the youth. Baltimore has a really serious homeless youth problem. I think if you look at the piece in the City Paper today, we quoted the Baltimore City School System as saying there's about 2,700 homeless youth. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people for
which means
a city
there's
this
more.
Size. Of course.
Which means
course.
There's more.
That's just documented through the city school systems. There are a lot of shelters, and there aren't a lot of shelters. A lot of the kids live in what are called abandos, the abandons, squats. I was fortunate enough to get inside of one to shoot and see the conditions that a lot of the kids are forced to live in. So I think it's a pretty important photo series, and I hope that it sheds light on the issue. And it is National Youth Homeless Month.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
November is, yeah. This is why we pushed to have it in the November.
Right, makes sense. So, Judy, good to see you again.
Yeah. Mark, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be in this space.
Last time you were on your way to London, raising money to go to London.
Yeah, it was amazing. I give shout-outs to Miss Christmas, Serena Rose for that, and Dan to many drama scholars.
So what are the stories? I know some of your photographs we'll talk about in a moment, but your journey to homelessness. Can we start, Sugar?
Yes. I was put out of my parents' home for being homosexual, but I moved to Baltimore a year ago, so I've been homeless for a year and a half now, actually. And I got a job. I had work downtown, but it's hard to keep a job when you have nowhere to live or you have nowhere to stay or for transportational reasons. So I eventually just found a group of kids who were also homeless, and we were all just wind up sticking together and staying in different abandos, different places outside.
Let me stop here for just a second. I mean, I think that, you know, it was about 5 years ago, maybe eight, I forget when it was, but we did a story here, and I called it Lord of the Flies, the Baltimore story, which is the story you're talking about, which are young people gathering together to survive and living in the vakes, the abandoned houses of our city. Mm-hmm. So what is that like?
It's not easy. Not easy finding one or finding one that is actually have good conditions. But I found a website where you can actually look it up. So I found...
Really?
Yes, where you can look up abandoned buildings and ones that are more recently abandoned typically has electricity, running water, and stuff like that.
Wow.
And if they're boarded up, usually the guys tear it down and get us in. So...
That was one of the things that struck me, and a lot of people commented, Mark, sorry, when I put a couple of photos up early, that a lot of the abandons do have electricity and gas lines. It's like Sugar was saying, that like the one that she had stayed in Mount Vernon was had complete heat, and it was just boarded up. So those conditions, you know, are a little better, although it doesn't have heat. So what happens is they turn the stove burners on, and then stuff starts to melt, and then you get those fires in the winter. Baltimore has like a spate of these like mysterious fires, and a lot of them I believe are from things like that.
And so, Jody, how did you become homeless?
So I was like living with my mother, and you know we've been like trouble boys. We troubles our mother a lot, and like she just kind of just got fed up with it. And my brothers got locked up, and I was just, like, out here in the streets. So she put us all out because we got our house raided again, and we got the doors kicked in, and it was like, yo, it's time for y'all to go. It's time for y'all to navigate life on your own. So it was just basically her putting us out, and just like...
Did you get busted then?
No, not me. So, because, you know, after a while, I started, like, changing my ways of life and, like, started putting myself away from those negative things. So it was just like my brothers that was involved, or at least caught up in a wrong mess. Not to say, you know, they had anything in it, but it was just kind of hanging out with the wrong crowd.
So what's your situation now?
So my situation now, I'm in a transitional housing program, City Steps Courage House. It's been about a year. Like, you know, Joe was saying, I age out at 21. So it's like they're pushing me to keep the transition going, like not to look back and not to go back to these streets.
How do you do that?
Just working honestly, trying to find, I mean, you can't do it if you don't have a job to kind of bring in money. So that's why I kind of like stress the importance of education and also employment. Like, we need more jobs as like youths in general. We need more jobs to kind of support ourselves, support our habits. And if we have families, it makes it even harder if we don't have money to kind of keep the income flowing. So,
and what about your situation?
Right now I'm with organization House of Hope. I believe it's ran by Miss Christina Flowers, but at the current time being, they are trying to evict us on the 15th
of this month. Evict you? Why?
We don't know why. I don't know the exact reason why, but it's just told us that we are no longer welcomed in the house.
Is it an age thing? I mean,
we don't know the reason. They haven't told us the reason, but so we just accept it. We have been, it's a group of us, seven, so we have been moved from one house to the next house, and now they're trying to move us again. We don't understand why, but.
And who's the they?
The organization House of Hope, and New Vision House of Hope as well. Two different organizations, and also Miss Christina Flowers.
Joe, you add anything to that?
Yeah, that was the most disconcerting part. I've been to both of the houses, and we can't seem to get to the bottom of who is putting these kids out on this back on the street, or in, you know, or being shuffled around. And you know, that's part of the problem, I think, with organizations that are like City Steps, which have a really tight program for kids. And like Jody's saying, even though he'll be aged out, they're going to try to help him transition. Whereas some of the other organizations don't have that kind of backing, and the organization that Sugar and Missy and the other kids are involved in, they're just getting moved around. A lot of them have jobs. You know, there's, you know, one reason I wanted to do this series, and the more I got into it, was that there's a lot of stereotypes of homeless kids that are completely dispelled. I mean, you know, Jody works. Sugar was at the gallery, working over there, straight. You know, no drugs. Self-sufficient, it just comes down to a living wage thing where they can't afford. It's kind of a catch-22. You know, you can't afford to live somewhere, so you have to go into these programs. And I think that's true. Maybe Sugar can attest to the other kids, like in the squat. I mean, they're in the same situation.
Anybody want to comment, jump in on that?
I mean,
Jody?
I haven't lived in like an abandoned squat. Like, I was always like couch surfing or like scrambling up some money to like rent a room, or like sleeping over at my grandmother's house sometimes, or just walking the streets. But it is like difficult, man, when you like, when you forced to kind of like, all right, make certain decisions to better yourself. And like when you have a support system that's like not in your family, that kind of hurts, you know. So it's all about like putting the resources out there so that we can see that we have support and have guidance to be able to get us on the right track. Because I believe once we're on that right track, it's like it's no turning back from now. Yeah, sometimes it's going to still be obstacles that's in a way that we have to overcome. But we just got to keep pushing and keep faith in God, man. So, yeah.
So... And part of this, part of the photos that were in the city paper were your photos, right?
Yeah, it was my photos.
No,
not in the city paper, but
not
online.
In the paper.
Yeah,
he has a gallery online. Yeah. We did. We couldn't get them together in time for print. With
so
Jody
what I saw was only online.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, his photos were in the gallery online.
So where did that come from? Is this something, a joint thing between you, or is this something you've been doing independently on your own?
Yeah, I've been doing photography like ever since I got out of high school. Like, it's just something that kind of kept me, like arts in general kept me from like in these streets, like really going hard and like keeping myself out of trouble. So I appreciate the arts for that reason. But the photos that are online, I was like at a community event. So regardless like what I was doing, I always took time to go out to a community and like pitch in, help out, volunteer. And those are the photos like for me going to like different community gatherings. And so that to show like people in the community are doing good things. We just have to again, spread that message so people can know that these resources are out here. And, like, stuff like this from the radio, stuff like the city papers, stuff like the news, if the news was to, like, broadcast things correctly, like, those are the ways to get those resources out there and get people's attention.
I mean, when you the numbers here just kind of boggle my mind. We're talking about 2,700, 3,000 more young people in this city that are on the street, not just on the street because you want to hang on the corner, but on the street because there's no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is – so what do you think about where you go? I mean, Sugar, what's the seven years that you and the others talk about? What are you planning?
We just hope that once somebody can either help us or we go back to an abandoned.
And what do you need?
You
have a job, right?
I did. I did. I had to leave because I had no way to go to work. So I had no transportation. So, because my money is seven of us, and it was only three of us who gets money in a house on a current basis. So I feed seven people, clothes seven people.
So you share what you make?
Yes.
Sugar's like a mama bear. Like, I walked in, she just gets everybody in order. It's like, snap, dude, I'll take care of that. Where are we at? Where are we going? How long are we going to take to get there?
Yep.
So she was pretty much in charge, which is pretty awesome to see.
So, it's very serious. I mean, because your story is probably multiplied by many, but, I mean, you're here. The question is, I mean, both of you seem to be in the same place. You don't know where you're going to be in the next week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, but it's like the mental thing. Like, if you think about the negative part of it, then, like, you're going to be impacted negatively. But if you think about the positive impacts, you're going to strive for it. Like, I feel like if push comes to shove, you know, if I'm back on these streets, I get a tent, set up shop, and, like, you know, and be comfortable, like, however to be comfortable, just so I can have money and continue to invest in my visions and my goals to be able to support myself in the near future. Because, like I said, all I need is the money, and once I have the money, I can then turn the money into an investment to not only invest in me but also invest in the people around me.
It's definitely a mindset. You really have to be strong. Like, it's not a game. You have to, even with organizations, signing up with an organization, you have to know what you're signing, who you're signing with. Sometimes I feel like I might even need a lawyer because you're almost signing your life away. You're giving these people the rights to go through your Social Security number.
What do you mean?
These people, when you sign up for an organization, they have all your information.
Organization that might is here to help the house.
Yes, that's supposed to help us with the house. But if we're signing to stay for 6 months, why have we only been here for 1 month? And now we're being told that we're leaving next week. Different organizations vouch. They say they're going to help you, but where's the help? Where are the people at when you actually need them? So you're basically signing your life away. So it's a mental thing. Like, you have to actually know what you're doing, know what you're talking about, because otherwise you're just going to be moved around, which is what they're doing to all of us. So.
And they have your Medicaid information too. They have all the personal information that you need.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, my thing, I was telling Joe, like, on the way here, it was like, yeah, I mean, it's people like you out here in the streets already that are homeless, but imagine the ones, even like the adults that are homeless, that are like locked up and like go to, like, think about being locked up as to like provide them a house, a bed to sleep in. So when they come home, initially, if no one cares about them or if no one supports them, they're homeless too. So it's like, and when you look at Baltimore City, because this is the city I was born in, I see a lot of abandoned buildings. Why can't you, you know, why can't we invest in these buildings, make it to a reasonable price where people can, you know, say, all right, I got a job, I'm making a living for myself. I can support my ways by, you know, paying for my rent for my apartment because it's not too high and I'm not making minimum wage, you know what I mean? So, and then in turn, like, if they're a good client, then sell it to them, you know, make them a homeowner, get them some notches underneath their belt when it comes down to fighting the system. The American system, I would say. So, especially with economics, man, because that's a big thing. It's like a clash.
So how many people around you do you know are in your situation?
I mean, I know a few. Like, I'm thinking about my brothers. I'm thinking about, like, some of the homeboys that I grew up with. And like Sugar said, it's not a game. You got to be mentally ready for this.
I know when I was staying downtown, it was a good, like, 25 of us just sleeping outside together.
Where?
I'm in downtown area near the harbor.
So if people hear this, I mean, how dangerous is it for you to be outside?
Very dangerous. come through various encounters. But yeah, it's dangerous.
Mark, the one thing that I think we really kind of the elephant in the room with the homeless teen youth situation is there's a lot of LGBT. We have a huge issue with LGBT teens and youth being put out of their homes, not for drugs, not for stealing, but just because of them, and the parents don't agree, and they get kids out. Sugar could obviously talk more. I mean, I've met several through the course of this. Is that a big problem, Sugar?
It is. It's definitely not accepted and socially accepted, or something that is socially something that people just don't really agree to. It's different, and a lot of people are scared of what's different. So not many people want to take to it.
I mean, I think that what you're describing here really is a critical piece. We've talked about this before. I mean, on the show. I mean, that gay, lesbian, transgender kids are off. A lot of them are kicked out of their homes. Parents just can't adjust to understand why you are who you are. There's some aberration, there's something wrong with you, so get out of my house. Is that what happened to you?
Yes, basically, yes. My parents are actually ministers, and so it definitely was a no-no. So
where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore. I thought you were from out of town.
Then I moved to Pennsylvania.
Okay, gotcha. So... I mean, and so just, you know, I think the emotion of just being told to get out. What did you do that first day?
Packed my stuff and moved to Baltimore.
So what did you do that first day when you got here? I mean, you had no place to go.
I didn't, but I had a friend that I still talk to, so I was staying with my friend on and off.
I mean, sitting here listening to the conversation, I mean, I every time I go through this, it's like you want to be able to say, go here. Here's a place to go, right?
I didn't know where to go. I just went with it. I'm really optimistic, which you have to.
You both seem very optimistic.
Yeah.
Which you have to be in this situation.
Yeah, you got to, man. To be honest, after a while, this America prepares you to be optimistic, all these things it throws in your way, she just constantly is always in the forefront battling you and your own self-conscious, and it's your biggest enemy is yourself. So you can't let your mind defeat you. So you got to defeat your mind.
So as a journalist, this time you.
Yep.
So what's the follow-up to this?
I'm gonna keep tabs on everyone and see. I did a series. In 2014, called Camp 83, where I focused on the homeless issues underneath the 83 overpass, and then I tried to keep up with a lot of the residents there. That's the kind of journalism that I like, is that the photos caused a response within the mayor's office, within Bon Secours. A lot of the healthcare organizations came down and helped the people under the bridge, and I mean, I'd like these photos to also people, for instance, Sugar wants to have a fundraiser for the people in the house. So these are the kind of stories that I really like. And I think next for me, I'm working on a thing on HIV positive teens, and then a secret project, which I'm working on. So
we'll keep it secret until we can talk off the air and have a beer. You guys don't go away. This is a section of the show where we go to the city paper. And we started off with you all because it's in the city paper. I wanted to hear the stories. I'm talking to Joe Giordano, the staff photographer, Jody Mays and Sugar. And we're going to go now to Anna Walsh for a moment before we have to end the hour. And we'll talk some more when we're done here. It's really good to have you both in the studio. I really wish you all luck here. The situation shouldn't exist. Anna Walsh, how are you? Aha, you sound like Mickey Mouse.
I know. There we go.
Or Minnie Mouse.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Anna. How are you?
All right. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. So, very quickly, we have 2 minutes since we were talking with folks here from the edition around homelessness with Joe Giordano. But you have a bunch of other stuff in here. You've got Magdalena's.
Yes.
Which I'm actually going to tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You'll have to let me know how it is.
I will.
Mary Zajac went, one of our food reviewers, and she was not underwhelmed, I guess, but she She talks in her review about how, you know, Magdalena's is sort of trying to do a lot of different things and trying to be almost too intellectual with its food. And, you know, it's a high-class restaurant, high-quality ingredients, but it doesn't seem to always know how to best pair those ingredients, even if, like, the presentation is beautiful and the staff is apparently lovely and, you know, some of the best service that she's had in town. But so you'll have to let me know what your experience is. Maybe it'll be a little bit different.
I will let you know. Before we come back to our folks in the studio here, so there are other pieces in here. You have a piece on the Abel Report following the money. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah. So the Abel Foundation put out a report recently about the city, the contracts that the city awards, and how the Board of Estimates keeps track of them. And one woman, Christy Cole, tried to look at the contracts from 2012 to get a sense of, you know, just the state status of all of these different contracts. If they asked for an extension, why did they ask for an extension? How much extra money was awarded to these different contractors? And she basically found that it's sort of in shambles. It's very difficult to actually get a lot of reliable information on these city contracts. And so Ed Erickson, our staff reporter, sort of talks through the report with her and also reaches out to some of the city officials who pushed back against this report. And, you know, City Council President Jack Young complained after the report came out that, you know, he hadn't been contacted for it and that it was unfair. Ed tried to talk to Young about it and he never got back to him. So it's sort of a nice follow-up on explaining the status of city contracts.
So and you have a piece on Ray Lewis's book, which I've not read yet, but I've heard a lot about and have it at my desk. I just haven't cracked it.
Yeah. Brandon Soderberg, who's not a particularly big football fan,
doesn't strike me as one.
Yeah, he's not quite the football type, but he read Ray Lewis's memoir and actually found it really, really interesting. And he sort of talks about how the book is written the way that Ray Lewis speaks. So if you've ever seen his,
yes,
you know, pre or post show video or game videos, it's sort of that same cadence. And he sort of talks about growing up and how it's a little bit of him trying to make sense of the questionable childhood experiences that he had, stuff like that. It actually sounds like a really great book. And this is coming from someone else who doesn't really watch that much football.
I did like the piece in this, your city power rankings. I thought also that Liz Bowie's piece on immigrant children at Patterson, Unsettled Journeys, was an amazing story and really did a good job.
Yeah.
I'm glad they got a thumb up. And you seem to, the city people like Brandon Scott this week, but not Martin and Marilyn.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if you've been talking on the show at all about the subpoena filed against Roberto Alejandro and Afro-American paper. Yeah, it just, it's, I think Alejandro said on one of his blogs that he's written about this, you know, there are so many people in Gilmore Homes who are willing to talk about these issues that to subpoena a reporter's notes, first of all, very questionable constitutionally, legally, but also it's just so lazy because you could just go to the public housing and talk to these people yourself instead of trying to seemingly intimidate the Afro by trying to get their notes.
Yeah, that was a kind of shock to all of us. I've been texting back and forth with Roberto about that. And I'm glad the thumbs down for the racist vandals at Copycat, which we've been talking about here as well.
Mm-hmm. And one other article that I want to point out really quickly is a review that Karen Hooper, our editor, did of Center Stage's The Secret Garden.
Uh-huh.
And she and I actually had a long conversation about how we both loved the book The Secret Garden growing up. And she, in her review, talks about how the show, which is a musical, sort of takes away a lot of the elements of the book that made it so good and so compelling. And she actually decides to interview some of the target audience. So she finds some kids in the audience and gets their reactions to the musical at the end of the review, which I very much appreciated. So, you know, out of the truth comes out of the mouth of babes, so to speak.
I will take a look at that.
Yeah.
Well, Anna, this is great. I look forward to getting this, popping this issue out. I'm going to come back to our studio guests here, inspired by the City Paper, to finish out. But I want to thank you once again for jumping on the ISDN and being with us and getting folks to know what's in this issue. And we'll be talking soon.
Of course. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Anna. And I do want to come back to everybody in the studio here. Because I really am very interested about where this kind of journalism is important, exposing this to the world. But I'm really concerned in thinking about what happens, where we go, to the two of you, and also what you think the city needs to do, Sugar. Just, I mean, there are thousands of you out there. You know, you are the tip of the iceberg of a really unjust system that's happening at the moment.
Yes. I think the bandos that are there, I feel like they should be opened, reopened, and used and for these kids, and like help these kids actually get their IDs, get their social security cards, birth certificates, things that they need so they can work. Because a lot of them are willing to work. It's not as if they're not willing to work. They want to work so that they can get their lives together. No one really wants to be outside.
No, and also I think that it's important that people understand and don't have a sense of what you described earlier, both of you described, which is the sense of community that you all built in the face of what you have to do every day. I mean, that's a story to me in itself that people don't hear.
Yeah, that's true, man. Like, I mean, Baltimore City, we came together, but we need to come back together, like, on a more stronger note, because we have to invest in our youth and the younger ones that's before us, because they are the future, we are the future. But as more time increased, the more technology increased, the more we kind of get brainwashed and kind of just kind of like to say, I'm for myself and I'm going to pull my own self up by my bootstrap narrative. We have to change that.
It doesn't work that way. And I think the way you, Sugar, describing the way you and the others live together in these abandoned houses is just saying the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people are really selfish, actually. And then there's so many foster kids who just get put out from their foster
18,
homes.
Gone.
Yes.
Or even before that.
Even before that. And they're gone. They have nowhere to go. They have nothing to do. I'm asking them, where's your caseworker? They're like, oh, my caseworker knows. They don't really care. I'm like, so the person who's getting the money for you is still getting the money for you, and you're not even there. So, like, none of it really makes – no one's really paying attention to the kids or what's going on.
Well, I'd like to know more how it all works out, and maybe on the program here, have you maybe tell us how it works out, what happens. I mean, I don't have the answers. Maybe I have some thoughts about people to talk to, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
I'm going to check back. I'll check back in a year, like I did with the Camp 83 story, which ended up being a little positive. So,
and we'll check back in too.
Okay.
Keep on top of this. So I'm going to say, first of all, Joe, thank you for the work you do and always being willing to get out there in the street and
thank
do the
you.
Work. Joe Giordano is an amazing photographer and photojournalist here in our city, working for the City Paper. Good to see you again, Jody Mays, Jr.
Thanks, Mark Stein. Appreciate it a lot.
Good to see you, man. Lovely to meet you, Sugar.
Nice to meet you, sir.
And I hope this all works out.
Thank you.
I really hope this works out.
Yeah, I think the abandoned idea is great. I really wish the mayor's office would look into that.
Open them up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let the people live. Thank you all so much for being here in the studio.
Thanks.
Thank you all for writing and calling in and being part of the program today. Hope you enjoyed our 2 hours. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andre Melton. Our interns are Sienna Grease, Monifa Wilson, Calvin Perry, who is working here today. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. And to podcast the Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.